from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of June 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota will be here with updates from their regions, and we'll check in with Harry Cooney, too. He's at GrowMark and will tell us all about the agricultural energies. There may be an opportunity to book propane for drying needs this fall, but we'll discuss whether that needs to be offset by the idea that there won't be all that much demand for drying this fall, depending on, of course, how many acres of corn are planted across the United States. And we'll do all of that and check in on the weather forecast, too, with Don Day from Day Weather on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, July corn today a penny higher at $4.25 and a quarter, September at $4.35 and three quarters up one, December at $4.44, two and a quarter higher, and next year's May at $4.55 and a half up two, July up a penny and three quarters at $4.57. Soybeans, July contract, $8.81 and three quarters, two and three quarters higher, August to date $8.88 and three quarters up 3 cents, November beans $9.09 and a quarter up three, January at $9.21 and three quarters, three and three quarters higher, and next year's July at $9.44 and a quarter, four and three quarters of a cent higher. Bean oil down 15 cents. The bean meal, 50 cents higher at $3.21. The bean oil was actually up 15. Wheat futures, July contract, 12 and a half cents lower at $5.07 and a quarter cents. September at $5.14 and three quarters for the soft red, 11 and a quarter lower, and July hard red at $4.68 and a half, down 18 and three quarters of a cent. June live cattle at 107.55 on its settlement, up 77 and a half cents. August at 125 higher, $104 and a nickel. The final trade there, and the feeder cattle at 137.45, up 3.95. September at 137.87 and a half, $3.75 higher. June lean hogs at $81.12 and a half cents, down 45 cents. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to try to help us make sense of what happened in Chicago and some of the fundamental reasons behind the moves today. Hey, Wayne, thank you so much. I hope you have some explanations, because I'm guessing that farmers are wondering how we could have come out with the numbers we did for planted acreage yesterday on corn in particular and not held at least a dime higher for the day.
Well, as I said, it's a befuddling sort of day. I think that the wheat was sort of the culprit that sort of pulled the rug out from under us, Todd. We got a little, much better wheat condition rating, and we may be looking at competition in the world and seeing that Europe's wheat's looking really, really good also. You know, there was possible talk of some interest rate hikes, which could make our wheat more expensive if the dollar goes up that way than our competitors. And a little idea that the world economy might be slipping into a little bit of recession with all of the tariff talk all over the world, with people backing up, and maybe the wheat wouldn't be quite as good. But it was very surprising to me that with over 30 million acres of corn left to plant, that we didn't end up higher than a penny today.
Yeah, so here we are on the fourth day of June. We have that much corn left to plant. The soybean number, of course, is well behind that. And folks are trying to figure out what to do with prevent plant. They're trying to work through all kinds of numbers as it relates to their bottom lines. What are most of them thinking? And maybe, I don't know whether if you want to start in the Dakotas and work your way this way, because those were the first dates. They went May 25 there, and then Iowa went over the weekend at May 31.
Yeah, and I think that South Dakota's got a real differential in what we might sort of advise or what we think would work for them. And I'm going to say, because their basis levels have been affected so bad by the a lack of grain going out the Pacific Northwest, and their basis levels have been up to a dollar in between. And they're getting $4 corn. Yes, it's only at 55% of their guarantee, but $4 corn instead of maybe $3 corn, looking as how we go like that. So we're thinking that it might not be such a bad idea for them to just say, I'm going to take prevent plant. The thing holding them up, I think, is going to be the payments from the government are they going to be allowed if you don't plant the crop? And we think that part of this disaster bill that was passed yesterday will probably do that in some cases. Do we know that for sure? No, don't take it that I said that it will do that. Take it that we think that there's a 50% possibility that it could do that. As we come into Iowa and Illinois and places like that, I think it, as long as you could get planted corn decently at all here by the 10th of June, I think we should keep trying to plant it. Unfortunately, my weather forecast doesn't say we're going to get much planted after today for the rest of the week, and I hope my weatherman is wrong. But we'd like to get up to the full guarantee and get it planted, and we'd like to have some corn being grown here that way, and also lock in the idea that we can get the full facilitation payments that way. And I think that as far as we look at it, we've still got time to plant some beans. I know that Agribal's weather was telling us that this week started into more normal showers and rain showers, and I think over the next 2 to 3 weeks we'll have a good chance to get some beans planted.
Indiana, Ohio still lag behind as well. I suppose there are farmers out there that are just going to the field for the first time, or maybe haven't even made it in just yet. Is that right?
There's some up in my old home area up there in LaSalle, DeKalb County, like that. I know of 3 or 4 farmers that have not turned anything, been out in the field. It's just too wet, and they got a little rain this morning up there. So that way, and southeast of Indianapolis in the Shelbyville area, up in the northeast corner like that, we had some farmers in here today from that area talking to them, and they are in very, very bad shape as far as getting anything done. There's just a lot of acres that it isn't that they don't want to be planting. They just don't have a chance. They just don't want to get stuck.
Other things that I've heard reported, at least Reuters reporting, that some Brazilian corn coming into the southeast now to the feeder hogs.
There's 1 million metric tons of corn that's committed to the east coast there out of Brazil for I know that October, November, December, there was one boatload each coming in there. They're buying that more out of the fact that if you pay attention to the southeast, the feed market down there, most of that comes out of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. And basically, what states are we way behind on planting corn? And the rail markets, they just want to make sure that they are going to have some on hand that they add to rather than not. It is also, the freight goes on it, but it's also right now about cheaper in Brazil, of course, for corn than it is here. We have to add the freight on, and I think that right now it's pretty much the same price. So I think they were locking in to make sure they had supply rather than trying to be nasty and buy from somebody else.
Hey, thanks, Wayne. Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium for this Tuesday afternoon. Do visit us online, willag.org, willag.org. There you can find most of our agricultural programming in its entirety to listen to anytime you would like, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between each and every business day. And of course, we record Commodity Week and put it up on the website on Thursday afternoons by about 5 o'clock. That's all at willag.org. You can also find us in Google Play, the iTunes Store, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and most major podcast applications. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 67% of the corn crop around the nation had been planted. The normal 5-year rolling average is 96%. For comparison's sake, 45% of the crop in Illinois is planted. Normally, 98% of that crop is in the ground. 31% in Indiana has been sown. This is for corn. Normally, they're at 94%. The Iowa crop at 80% planted is normally 99% planted. 46% of the crop that is in the ground is up and growing or emerged, and the rolling 5-year average for corn emergence is 84%. Now, 39% of the soybean crop has been sown. The rolling 5-year average is 79%. Just a quick look, 21% of the soybeans in Illinois are planted, 17% in Indiana, Iowa at 49%. Those usually are well into their 80% done range at this point. 19% of the crop is emerged. Normally, 56% of the soybean crop has emerged. emerged at this point. Taking a look at the condition of the winter wheat crop, it's said to be 50% good, 14% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 48 and 13, and 76% of the crop has headed. 84% is the rolling five-year average. Now, here are updates from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report. Iowa farmers continue to battle wet field conditions as another week of heavy rainfall limited farmers to only 1.3 days suitable for field work statewide. The lower third of Iowa had a half day suitable for field work or less for the second week in a row. Topsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 0% short, 50% adequate, and 50% surplus. 80% of the expected corn crop has been planted, nearly 3 weeks behind the five-year average. This is the smallest amount of corn planted by June 2nd since 1982, when 76% of the expected corn crop had been planted. There were comments that some of these expected corn acres may go to soybeans or prevented planting. 58% of the crop has emerged, 12 days behind last year and 13 days behind average. 41% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 18 days behind last year and average. This is the smallest percent of soybeans planted by June 2nd since 1993, when just 39% of the expected crop had been planted. 17% of the crop has emerged, 2 weeks behind last year and 13 days behind average. Only 4% of the state's first cutting of alfalfa hay has been completed, over 2 weeks behind average. Hay condition rated 60% good to excellent. Pasture condition decreased slightly to 62% good to excellent. Feedlots remain muddy. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was much like the previous week's. Precipitation continued at above normal levels, and temperatures were also above average last week. There were only 2 days suitable for field work last week around Illinois. Farmers used those days to plant corn and soybeans, apply fertilizer, and to prepare fields for planting. Topsoil moisture levels declined, but are still rated at 40% adequate and 60% surplus. Temperatures averaged 70 degrees last week and ranged from 1 degree above normal in northern Illinois to nearly 5 degrees above normal in southern parts of the state. Rainfall averaged 1 3/4 inches and ranged from slightly below normal to nearly 2 inches above normal for this time of year. Corn planting advanced by 10 points and is now 45% finished. That compares to 100% 1 year ago and 98% for the five-year average. 32% of corn acres have emerged compared to 91% normally. Soybean planting is now 21% complete compared to 93% last year and 84% normally. 13% of soybean acres have emerged. Turning now to winter wheat, 87% of acres have headed compared to 97% last year and 95% normally. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop was rated as 22% very poor to poor, 48% fair, and 30% good to excellent, a little worse than 1 week ago. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 23% finished, compared to 71% last year and 62% normally. Other hay harvest is 21% finished, compared to 53% normally. Pasture conditions were rated 5% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 74% good to excellent, which is better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with the weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending June 2nd, 2019. Minnesota farmers had 3.4 days suitable for field work during the week. Planting progress was made for all crops in Minnesota given slightly drier conditions. Warmer temperatures also aided crop emergence and development in the state this week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 0% very short, 3% short, 55% adequate, and 42% surplus. 76% of the Minnesota's corn crop was planted. That's 13 days behind last year and 17 days behind the five-year average. 48% of the corn crop had emerged, nearly 2 weeks behind normal. Soybeans were 51% planted, that's 12 days behind last year and 16 days behind average, while 16% of the soybean crop had emerged. 95% of the spring wheat crop had been planted. That's 3 days behind the average. 73% of the spring wheat crop had emerged. That's 7 days behind normal. Spring wheat was 10% jointed. That's 11 days behind average. The first spring wheat condition rating of the season came in at 86% good to excellent. For the first cutting of alfalfa hay was 5% complete. That's 8 days behind last year and 12 days behind the 5-year average. All hay condition rated 58% good to excellent, and pasture condition rated 61% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their audio updates of weekly crop progress in their areas. Do find us online, listen to us on demand at WILLAG.org. This is the Closing Market Report. We're now joined by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks for being with us, Don. Let's begin with the transition from spring to summer, because we're at that point in time that it usually takes place. How are things coming along besides, well, wet?
Well, I tell you, it's been a slow process in terms of getting us into a summer pattern, at least where it's consistently warm and we start building up heating degree days and heat units. It's been slow to do that, and of course, the wet ground is partly responsible for that. But in the coming week, next 10 to 14 days or so, we do see the middle part of the nation warming up. Temperatures are going to be warmer. That's going to be more consistently warm, which is, I think, good news for everybody. That's going to help dry out some of the really wet areas. Now, there's going to be a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity with that as well. It's going to be mainly of the scattered variety as we go through the rest of this week and into the weekend. Late next week and the following week, it does look like a wetter pattern is going to develop in the nation's midsection again. We're not looking at the amount of rain, maybe as heavy. And thankfully not as heavy as we've seen before. And the focal point of the heavier rain will be more towards the central and southwest areas of the Corn Belt.
Well, that'll bring us into some of those hard red winter wheat growing regions. They got a crop that, depending on where you are, is beginning to be harvested or in the middle of its growing season. And this could be a problem, I suppose, for them if there's enough wet weather there.
Yeah, I think we're going to see frequent episodes of thunderstorm activity moving through some of those areas, especially the northern and central areas of those wheat locations. That may keep the ground wet enough to cause some harvest delays, and also in areas where they need a little bit more time could cause some slowdowns as well.
Does the southeast start to get rainfall? They've been really dry.
They are getting some rainfall, and they're going to be getting some more. In fact, this pattern that's been so persistent during the month of May into the first couple of days of June is breaking. That brought that hot, dry weather to the southeast and the cold, wet weather to the west. That pattern's changing. So we do see some welcome rains coming into the southeast United States. Now, there will probably be some severe weather with that as well. But it's a slow process, Todd, but we're getting into a pattern that for everybody in the central and eastern United States, it's getting a little more favorable. A little bit drier in the northern and western Corn Belt and a little more wet in the southeast.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check in on the agricultural news. We'll start with President Donald Trump, who is on a trip overseas in the United Kingdom. At a press conference today, he was asked about trade with Mexico and what he thought the prospects were that the tariffs he mentioned earlier in the week would be imposed beginning next week.
And as you know, Mexico called. They want to meet. They're going to meet on Wednesday. Secretary Pompeo is going to be at the meeting along with a few others that are very good at this, and we are going to see if we can do something. But I think it's more likely that the tariffs go on, and we'll probably be talking during the time that the tariffs are on and they're going to be paid.
The president went on to outline how the tariffs will ratchet up through the month of October.
And every month, those tariffs go from 5% to 10% to 15% to 20% and then to 25%. And what will happen then is all of those companies that have left our country and gone to Mexico are going to be coming back to us. And that's okay.
Again, Mexican officials will be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow to seek a resolution. It has not yet committed to retaliate against the tariffs should they go into place. There's one other ag news story coming from Washington, D.C. Yesterday, the House of Representatives passed the $19.1 billion disaster aid package that includes some $3 billion in funding for agricultural issues across the United States. It gives broad authority to Secretary Perdue, though it's not clear just yet how he will be using that to mete out that $3 billion across the agricultural industry. And that's a look at today's Ag News. Harry Cooney is now here. He's from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, and we're going to discuss the agricultural energy markets. Looks like there's been a little sell-off. Tell me about that.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. That's right. Energy markets have sold off here ever since probably early May or late April. The market's been in a sell-off, but here in the past couple of weeks, that sell-off has accelerated. In fact, lead month crude oil topped out just around $66 a barrel there in late April, and it's fallen to under $55 here. Now, some of this has been a seasonal sell-off. Some of it's been some jitters over world economies, other jitters from the Middle East at times. Sometimes it sounds bullish from the Middle East. Other times it sounds a little negative. So it's had a little sell-off and a little larger than what we would normally see at this time of the year. Normally the market sell off a little bit into May and early June, but this year's sell-off's been a little larger than normal.
What impact does it have, if any at all, on what farmers should be doing?
Well, this is uncovering some opportunities, especially for those that still need some coverage on the upside in diesel fuel and or propane. Those prices, the contract prices, have come down here quite a bit. And so if you have not, if the end user has not locked in much or still has some that they would like to do, and maybe they missed out on it there during the winter lows, this is another window of opportunity here to start looking at some pricing. Talk to your local FS member cooperatives about the programs and the prices they have out there, and get ready for, you know, what we hope is a good fall season of harvest, even though we know this spring has been quite different in many ways.
On that note, for drying of corn, and there's likely to be an awful lot of that that needs to happen, but it will depend a great deal in certain areas on how much corn actually has been put into the ground. How do you balance off the demand for propane and the current drop in that price?
Well, I'll tell you, how we're going to determine the demand that we're going to have for this fall, I wish I knew the answer. That is a big million-dollar question. I wish I knew that, because you have this prevent plant potential that we haven't had for a number of years, have it really kick in here. And how much of that is really going to occur or not, we don't know yet. But you're right, the possibility for some large grain drying is definitely out there, given the fact that we've planted late. Then we'll have to see what the summertime weather is and that early fall weather, because a lot of times we can get a big hot wind out of the south in September and things dry down a point a day. So those are factors we can't answer right now, but it definitely opens up a larger potential this year than normal for some grain drying demand.
Still, go ahead and book it if you think you need it.
Book it if you think you need it. Book what you think you need. And these prices here in this last month have uncovered some opportunities, some sale prices that we didn't think we were going to get in diesel fuel and in propane.
Hey, thanks so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois.